Thursday I'll be in Memphis.
And you go, you leave.
I have to be there early Friday morning. I will be. Gas goes up much more. I don't know. Well, I mean, I was kidding about you guys. I'll probably be out here. It's either or. I'll probably be out here so it's work. Depending on the weather tomorrow and how much I get. I might get done tomorrow. But yeah, if I'm not here, I'll probably. I probably need to bowl. I mean, I didn't bowl this last week. That's on a midweek getaway. I've got to pick up. I said you won't work. Like your French thing.
Yeah.
And I forgot that program didn't work right. And I was putting it in the CD player on the way over here.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. Let's take just a moment and just greet each other in the name of the Lord before we start our service. In your bulletin, there are lots of announcements. Anyone have anything in particular that they want to draw our attention to? Yes. Anything else?
Committee will meet today at the call of the chairperson. Typically, the chairperson. Also, the session will meet at 6 o'clock. If you have issues to bring before the session, you're welcome to come and bring them or just come and listen. And watch the church in action.
Any prayer requests or praise reports? I want to thank you, the church, for your concern for us at the passing of my mother. I appreciate the cards and the flowers and those of you that were able to come to her memorial service. I appreciated it so much. I've written a note, but I wanted to also say it to you. Any other prayer requests or praise reports? Yes. Okay. Okay. Anything else?
People are suffering because of storms and just whatever they need, I guess, bravery and resolution or something. Some would not move, and then they have to rescue them. So pray for them too.
All right, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer as we light our candles and welcome Jesus into our service. Our gathering words are found in your bulletin. We are people of God's awesome love. We are people of God's justice and mercy. We are people of God's music. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. together as we pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, your greatness, as we try to consider it, we discover that your greatness is beyond what we can think or say. Lord, we know you're just great. Great above all. Lord, we come to honor your greatness this morning. We come to stand before you as your humble people, knowing that you're God, and that we are your creation. You're the Lord of life. We are subjects. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to be your people. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. And Lord, as we have been loved, help us to love. As we have been forgiven, help us to forgive. Bless us in our worship, that we may show to you that we know that you're great. We may be able to express it. We may show to those around us that we believe that you are great, but we may show to the world how great you are. Great is the Lord. Now we come to pray as Jesus, your Son, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into heaven. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. The call to confession this morning is found from 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Our prayer of confession is in unison. God of eternity in all creation, you alone, O Lord, are truly fail-safe. You faithfully keep your promises to us, even when we carelessly disobey and break your heart, even when we crucify our Lord anew by breaking faith and abandoning responsibility. Forgive us for the times we have failed to live up to the name Christian. Heal whatever hurt we have caused. Help us in turn forgive those who have violated the trust we once put in them. May your grace flow over us, washing away the stain of bitterness. Above all, remind us to pray that through prayer we may remain connected to the one who is trustworthy and merciful. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Amen. We have assurance of forgiveness. The one who gave us life also sent us Christ, that by his sacrifice on the cross we are cleansed of all failings. Claim this grace as your own and go forward in joy.
Let's turn now to hymn 430. I Must Tell Jesus. 430.
Offertory sentence is from Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Will our ushers come forward, please?
Somebody, either an usher or someone in the congregation, offer our prayer of thanks.
Lord, you have given us all. Nothing we have here will be taken with us. And Lord, today we offer you a portion of what you have given us. We pray that you bless this church, we use this portion to better spread the word of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In this day we pray. Amen.
Going to sing Faith Things First. Let's just say it was a computer glitch. It didn't have anything to do with the operator, I'm sure. But the CD won't play in this machine. Second of all, the Sutterth family has a new baby. His name is Joseph Neil Sutterth. He was born Friday afternoon at about 4:10. And he kept our record straight. We haven't had a grandbaby under 9 pounds. He was 9 pounds and 1 ounce. So we're intact. We've got 4 grandchildren. They've all been over 9 pounds. So my daughter and my daughter-in-law have done good work. And he, of course, he's the most beautiful baby ever born. There's a picture already on my desk, just in case you want. And Nancy has 3. I'm going to sing out of the hymnal this morning. Melanie and I have not practiced, but it's an old standard hymn, and we hope you like it. And it's one of my personal favorites, and a George Beverly Shea favorite, so maybe we'll all like it. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear call. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to
to His holy name, than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He is all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead than to be the King of a vast domain or be held in sin. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords
today. Reading this morning from Romans 12. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has a body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is in serving, let him serve. If it is in teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Sacrifice. When you think of that sacrifice, what do you think of? Do you think of, oh no? Sacrifices. More than one. What sacrifices have you made? The Apostle Paul, he writes to us about sacrifices. Our sacrifice. Offer your body, your bodies, as living sacrifices. What sacrifices have you made in your life? Think about that. I'm guessing that there are a limited number of sacrifices that we have made. I heard a phrase this week somewhere, the silver spoon people. And we may not be silver spoon people, but we've been so blessed. We've been called upon to offer so few sacrifices to get through life. We've had it pretty easy, have we not? Anybody have not had it pretty easy, rather easy? Oh, there's been a tough time or two in life. But sacrifices? What sacrifices have we made? Have you made in your life? Have I made in my life? What sacrifices have you made for your children? Have you made any sacrifices for your children? Did it really put you out much when you made these sacrifices? Understand that childbirth is a sacrifice. The experience of childbirth, some have compared it to a kidney stone. So you may have, you women, a sacrifice to give birth. What sacrifice have you made for your parents? Oh, I made a few trips to Jackson, Mississippi for 5 or 6 years just to be there. Julie and Gary made a trip last week, week before last, for Gustav. We, some part of a sacrifice, but it wasn't something that really put me out, or I don't think it really put them out. Messed up our normal routine a bit, but it wasn't that bad. It wasn't on my part. I don't think it was. Y'all got to visit some and fellowship. Other sacrifices. What sacrifices have you made for yourself? I kept trudging through school. That was a sacrifice. Not being the best student, being rather lazy. Some said when it came to studying, or the ability to remember, maybe rather limited. Couldn't answer it back as they gave it. Had a little rebellious spirit also. Finally I learned that you sacrifice your own thinking till you get out of the test and put back what the professor wants and get on through it. So you have to sacrifice a bit there. And then you can be a free thinker after you get the sheepskin. I don't think mine was really sheepskin, but we talk about it. What sacrifices have you made for your country? And Pete, let me put you on the spot. You made one. Of this group here, probably the most. But some gave up children. give up time. What sacrifices have we made? Well, what is a sacrifice? What am I talking about when I talk about a sacrifice? Well, I just found a Merriam-Webster, I believe it was, dictionary, and it says a sacrifice, an act of offering to a deity something precious. So that's what we're thinking about. There are other definitions today, but from a Christian perspective, it's offering something that is very precious to you, offering it to God. Offering to a deity something that is very precious. That could be our offering, our tithe. And for some people it's more precious than others. You have to, it really hurts to let it go. Others kind of give it away freely, like throwing away $100 bills. What sacrifice have you made for God and His kingdom? Well, I got up and came to worship 52 weeks out of the year. Maybe that's your sacrifice. Got a little, already asked a person for to help with a little project in the morning. It's going to be a sacrifice. And I appreciate that. To have some help, don't want to do it myself. Want to make a little sacrifice. Let me say right now, this may be a two-part sermon. If I get bogged down, or if Psalm calls it, run down too many rabbit trails, maybe those rabbit trails, though, are important. Maybe God is leading us down those rabbit trails. That's the way I see it. Now, the person in the pew can never, well, can hardly see it that way. But it may be. It may be, and I say maybe, it may be that God has directed us down what some call a rabbit trail. Romans 12, we read the whole chapter. I have preached before from the first three verses, or the first two verses. And as I looked at this, it was a lectionary lesson for about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I didn't get to preach on it then, and as I read these most every week, or portions of them, especially the New Testament lesson. I guess I'd like to go to the New Testament more. And maybe I need to sacrifice and go see what the Old Testament says. But anyhow, Romans 12 seemed to be God speaking and urging that we think about sacrifices. In Romans 12, the Apostle Paul is calling on Christians to make sacrifices. Why should Christians make sacrifices? Well, we'll talk about that. That may be where we get bogged down. Why should we make sacrifices? See, Romans 12, Paul uses the word therefore, or that's the English translation. Therefore, what does that have to say to us? Based on what has already happened, or based on what he has already talked about, based on what God has done for us back here in the first 11 chapters of Romans 12, you found the same word in the offering scripture. Offertory sentence, we call it. Paul used therefore. What's he talking about? Therefore what? Go back and read what has happened or what he's talked about in the previous chapters. Based on this, therefore do this. And that's what we have in Romans 12. Based on his explanation of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Present your bodies. I call on you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He is writing to Christians to make sacrifices, calling upon you and I. Christians in Rome in particular. It's the letter to the Romans. And it was directed to the Roman church, but also to Christians in general. You. Me. Christians throughout the world. This is a call to the people of the kingdom of God. People who have heard and believed the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. People who believe in Jesus. This is a call to Jesus people, church people, people who are trusting in Jesus for their salvation, are saved people, saved unto heaven. The call to make sacrifices is based on, and these are sacrifices to God. The call to make sacrifices to God is based on what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Let me quickly add, it's not so God will do something good for us through Jesus Christ. God's already done it. And Paul talks about it in the first 11 chapters, actually chapter 3 through 11. The things that God has done for us. And kind of give you a rundown. And this may be where we get bogged down. I don't really think it's a bogged down. It may be where we dwell today. He saved us for heaven. He saved us from hell. And some say, oh, the hell that's referred to in the Bible is not really a hell, but it was the city dump that was set on fire and burned and burned and burned, Gehenna. And that Jesus was referring to that city dump outside the city. Well, if I am doomed to spend eternity at the city dump, that's hell. We've cleaned most of them up. We have moved them out of sight. We have hidden the city dumps. But a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, Pete and I made numerous trips to the transfer station. Wow, remember that day that it was so bad? Other days it wasn't so bad. Wow, I don't want to work there. I don't want to live there. If you think convenience center is terrible to stop off quickly and throw your bag in the compactor, go to the transfer station. But years ago, outside of Batesville, Arkansas, I spent about 3 years there. And beautiful country, but north of town. Some valleys, pretty deep valleys. And they dump trash. Then they set the trash on fire. And it burned, and it smoldered, and it smoked, and it smelled. My hometown, I can still see in my mind the city dump. Now, I believe in a literal hell. Maybe I need to state that. For the worm never dies, but it's a continuing separation from God. I don't know all about it. Don't need to know all about it. I won't stay away from it. But God has saved us from that through Jesus Christ and saved us for heaven. And some say, oh, it shouldn't be streets of gold, even gold and silver shouldn't be mixed or something, or pearls. Hey, I know it'd have to be a big oyster to make a pearl big enough to have pearly gates. Maybe there's more than one pearl make the gates. But the best we could think of is saved us from the worst that we could think of for eternity to the best, better than we can think of and dream about. I think you can find that, at least a reference to it, in Romans chapter 8. He has given us righteousness. Righteousness. He has given us the ability to live a righteous life. Or He has cleansed us from all of our unrighteousness. He has cleansed us from all of our unrighteousness, our sinfulness. He has taken away our sin, all of the mud and muck and murk and all that would alienate us from God, all that would separate us from being in the presence and living in the presence of our Creator through Jesus Christ. So He calls on God, having given us righteousness. Chapter 3, you can find, and I didn't put the verse down, but I did make a note of the chapter. Romans chapter 3. He has justified us through our faith in Jesus Christ. And somebody spoke justified, it is just as if I had never sinned. Justified us. And that may be a simple way, but sometimes I can relate to simple things better than I can very deep things. It is just as if I had never sinned. Through Jesus and our faith in Him, and He did it on the cross for us. And we put our faith in that death on the cross, and through His death, He paid for our sin. And when we put our faith in Him, He takes our sin upon Himself. It's just as if we had never sinned. And Romans 5 says, well, that's chapter 4 and 5. And then He has given us peace with God. And you find that. He has given us peace with God. There have been some times in my life that I haven't felt at peace with God. And these have been the happy times. It was maybe God calling me to something, but it was a frustration, a restlessness. But through Jesus, He has given us peace with God. And based on the fact that God has given us peace with Himself, He has made peace for us. We who were yet sinners, we who were alienated from God. Romans 8 speaks of that. While we were yet sinners, He has made us alive in Christ, as opposed to being dead in our sin. Chapter 6. He has made us alive in Christ. Romans chapter 6. And then in chapter 8, Paul speaks of God having given us a future glory. You know, there's a song that comes to mind. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me. That will be glory, that will be glory for me. That's glory. That's a happy time. That's a joyous time. When we see His face, that will be glory. The face of Jesus. The face of God. That will be glory. Glory for me. And then chapter 8 speaks of God, through Jesus, making us more than conquerors. More than conquerors over sin. We can conquer sin. God. God predestined us. Predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. The likeness of His Son. God did it. He determined it. The word is, in Romans, is predestined us. And I know Cumberland Presbyterians, we rejected that predestination theory. Well, We didn't reject this part. It's a good word. It's not a bad word. He predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of His Son and has given us and called us and justified us and glorified us. He predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of His Son and called us and justified us and glorified us. Romans chapter 8. As I said, what precedes chapter 12, verse 1? Based on this, therefore, so all of these things that I have shared with you, He saved us, adopted us into His family, chose us, gave us righteousness through faith. The adoption, I think, is in chapter 8 also. I may not have dwelled on that one enough. All of this we find in the first 11 chapters of the letter of Paul to the Romans. God is merciful. God is merciful. And I can say it, oh, the mercies of God, as we stop to think of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We've heard it so many times, us church people have. Sometimes us preachers, we just kind of brush over it or move quickly over it. But when you're going to preach on it, see, that calls us to stop and dwell on it, meditate on it, pray about it, read the background, etc., etc. Oh, the mercies of God extended to you, extended to me, and God is so good. God is so good. He is good. Now, in view of God's mercy, because God has been so merciful, based on what God has done for us, has already done for us, based on what God has done for us, brothers and sisters in the faith, present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. And that is our reasonable service, our reasonable worship. That's a reasonable thing to do. Is it really reasonable for God to call upon us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice? Well, Paul says it is. Romans 12, 1. He goes on to say, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the world. This may, and in many, many cases it will, require a change in our thinking. And Paul knows that. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, change your thinking about these things. I just don't see the importance of offering myself as a living sacrifice. But Paul says, do it. He says it's reasonable. And he says, don't keep on thinking like the world thinks. And we could go back to last week's lesson where Peter was thinking like Satan was thinking, and Jesus basically chewed him out. Jesus corrected him and told him to get behind him and follow. 16th chapter of Matthew. Don't be conformed to this world. Think out of the box. Think bigger than this world. Think heavenly. Be ye transformed. Be ye changed. Be ye changed in your thinking by the renewing of your mind. Have a change of mind or a change of heart. I get so tickled about, and it's both sides. I don't want to be political here, but the political persons that are before us. They say, well, they spoke this way back there, and now they're speaking this way. Well, they had a change of heart. They came to a new understanding. I thought once we were, but now we are. And you can hear it from both sides of the political spectrum. Boy, is that avoiding being political in the pulpit? So it's just an example. Well, that person changed their mind about this. Well, of course they do. And you have too. Hopefully about something. Hopefully you haven't made up your mind. You're going to stick with me, come. People are experiencing high water in some places, over 7 inches in Chicago. And that's it's a type of torment, isn't it? Okay. I don't want to rush through these, but how do we offer our sacrifices? And I've preached on this passage so many times, I don't know how many times, but I don't remember ever relating, using the gifts that God has given to us, presenting them to God as being the fulfillment of the request of the Apostle Paul. And I want to do that next week, if I may. And I knew when I started, like Jim said the other day, don't rush through your sermon, keep us here. I'm going to have to teach these class, though. Try to, if I get the computer to work and everything. But I knew when I prepared this message, it might be a two-Sunday message. But if you will read the rest of Romans 12, and don't stop at Romans 12, read 13. One of the sacrifices, I'll insert this real quick, one of the sacrifices that we may have to offer is be subject to our civil authorities. That's in chapter 13. And sometimes that's hard to swallow, isn't it? We don't think they know what they're doing most of the time. But we are called upon to offer our bodies, our talents, our gifts. So from, I think it's verse 4, maybe it's 6, they start talking about love. It may take some sacrificing on our part to love some of the unlovables of the world. They may have the same trouble loving us too. I'm reminded of that pretty often. But so, let's think about that. And prepare for next Sunday's sermon, and you may get to interact with me if you so desire. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice based on what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Therefore, or based on this, offer your bodies a living sacrifice. There's a song that I remember, and I don't know where I remembered it from or how it came about. Don't remember ever singing it, but somewhere we must have. And it was by Eliza Hoffman. And there's a 1900 date given for Eliza. Was that Elisha? Is that a male or female? I don't even know. But the refrain says, "Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him
your body. And so, as you yield Him your body and soul, we're going to sing, "When I Survey." When I survey, when I think of what God did for me in His Son Jesus Christ on the cross, when I look at the cross, it calls me to sacrifice myself. This may be the moment that you want to respond if you have not responded to what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. And you want to respond publicly. You feel God is calling you to come here in this public gathering and present yourself to God to claim personally what He has done for you in Jesus Christ. That may be your need this morning. We invite you to respond in that manner if that is your need. You may just want to come in thanking God for His gifts to you, especially the gift of salvation, eternal life, and all that goes with that. You may want to come publicly and express your thanksgiving, maybe by kneeling here, maybe by just meeting with me in prayer. You know what would best fulfill your response to God's calling to you. Let's stand together. It's 185, the first two verses. We just thank You. Thank You for what You have done for us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Go.
Did you pick up that?
Okay, gotcha.